the hero of your story. How can you show your readers the character traits of your hero rather than simply tell them who the hero is? We'll discuss this today and much more. Welcome to A Writer's Day Podcast. Hello, and welcome to my podcast. I call this podcast A Writer's Day because A Writer's Day is filled with constant thinking and observing and revising our stories in our head, on the computer, or even on paper. But we are constantly thinking about our current story or our next story. And so that's why with this podcast, I like to talk about parts of writing, parts of our story development. I like to interview authors and discuss how they became writers in order to encourage all of my listeners. So welcome. My name is Ruth Douthit, and I'm an award-winning author of books for middle grade readers, and I'm the current president of Christian Writers of the West, the Arizona chapter of ACFW, American Christian Fiction Writers. Today I want to continue and wrap up our series on the Book of Ruth. Last time we looked at the literary devices used in the Book of Ruth, like foreshadowing, metaphor, etc. And I want to wrap up this series by looking at the hero of the Book of Ruth. Now, many literary scholars consider Ruth to be literature, and it is. It's definitely character-driven rather than plot-driven. The writer is thought to have been Samuel, and the story occurs during the time of the Judges. And we learn so much about the characters. The character of Naomi and Ruth as they take this journey from Moab back to Bethlehem, leaning on the promises of God. It's a beautiful story of courage and obedience. It's a story of obeying something even when you don't understand it completely. We learn so much about the character of Ruth, but we also learn who the hero of the story is in chapter 2 when she encounters Boaz, the kinsman redeemer. So let's reflect on that for a bit. Boaz is the hero of the Book of Ruth. Who is he? Well, he's a relative of Naomi. We're told that in the book, but what are we shown about Boaz? Well, in chapter 2, verse 4, he's introduced to us, the readers, as he appears at his field. And what does he do? Does he ride in on a beautiful white stallion surrounded by beautiful women servants? No. He simply walks up to his workers, the reapers, and he greets them. And what does he say? Does he shout at them and say, "Get up, you lazy bums, get back to work"? No. He greets them with, "The Lord be with you." He bestows upon his employees a blessing. He walks onto his property and bestows a blessing upon his workers. What does that show us about him? What does that reveal about Boaz's character? And how do they respond? Do they say, "Yes, master"? Or do they cower in fear and say, "Leave us alone"? No, they respond with, "The Lord bless you." What does that reveal to us about Boaz as a boss, an employer, as the owner of this field? By this reaction and the response of his workers, we learn that he is a well-known, wealthy man, but that he is kind and that he is fair, that he loves the Lord, and he loves and cares about his workers. How amazing is that? Just with dialogue and actions, we are shown so much about Boaz. Now, reflect on your current work in progress, your story. Who is the hero of your story and why? What can we learn about your hero just by his or her actions and words? In the story I'm working on, my hero is a former captain in the United States Marine Corps who goes to a small town to live quietly There he remodels homes, and he only hires veterans. What can we learn about my hero just from those small facts? Now remember, the author of Ruth doesn't tell us who Boaz is right away. I mean, we learn a few things, that he is a relative of Naomi, and that this was done through her husband, Elimelech. We are told that he owns property, so we can assume that he is wealthy. But we are shown so much more just by his words and his actions. He did not have to bestow a blessing upon his workers, and yet he did. Now Ruth, the heroine, what can we learn about her? By her actions and words, we learn of her faithfulness, her use of critical thinking, her skills there, that she respects the Jewish law, probably taught by her husband and her in-laws, and we learn something about her appearance. In Ruth chapter 2, verse 5, Boaz sees her and asks, "Whose young woman is this?" We are told that she's a young Moabite, which means she's a Gentile foreigner from a country that was once listed among the enemies of God. We're told that she came with Naomi. She's widowed, and Naomi is a widowed Jewish woman. And we're told by the workers of Boaz that Ruth sought permission to glean the fields. So she respects the law, the Jewish law that is found in Deuteronomy chapter 24. And we're told by his workers that she is a hard worker, diligent, working all day long. Now her appearance and her actions caught the attention of Boaz, and the two meet. And what can we learn from their encounter? Boaz orders her to stay close by. He tells her that he's heard of her reputation. He tells her that he ordered his men not to touch her, and he also advises her to drink only from his vessels. Ruth, how does she respond? Does she say, "Whatever, I'm going to do what I want to do"? Does she say, "Hey, don't tell me what to do, mister"? No, she falls on her face. She bows before him in humble gratefulness. So we can tell a lot by her actions. She praises him and acknowledges her position before him. She knows of his reputation just as he knows of hers. She is a poor foreigner, and he is a wealthy landowner. Reputation. Think back to your hero and heroine of your story. What can we learn about their reputation, and does it precede them? How is that important in storytelling? Boaz goes on to explain that Ruth's reputation precedes her. He sees her as faithful, loyal to Naomi, sacrificial, brave. He bestows a blessing upon her. In other words, he's pretty impressed with her. And Ruth responds with gratefulness. So just by those actions and those words, we see the literary device used to show the readers who these characters are and their integrity, rather than just tell us. That's an important part of writing, isn't it? What about your story? What have you shown us about your main character? Is she faithful, hardworking, loyal? Does she have integrity and character? Meaning, do her actions and her words line up? Or is it the opposite? Do you want us to see that your main character lacks all of these attributes? And then later on, will change by the end of the story. Conflict. Let's look at the conflict in the book of Ruth so far. The antagonists in this story, they are the workers, the men, they could harm her. The law of God is another antagonist. It could be harsh if it's abused or broken. The land is also an antagonist, remember? There was a famine in the land. It wasn't producing fruit. Ruth's position, that's also another antagonist. She's a foreigner. We're told constantly that she's from Moab. This is a country considered an enemy of God. She's a Gentile woman, a widow. And then we have all of these combined. Our conflict is character versus the natural world, the famine, character versus society, her position, and the law of God. And then we have character versus character, the men of the field. And then we have character versus destiny. Her position and Naomi's position was bestowed upon them. They did nothing to cause it. It just happened. So I don't see a villain in this story, only antagonists. And there is plenty of conflict to go around. What's the conflict in your story? Think about it for a while. How many do you have? Most stories have 3 or 4 different types of conflict. Character versus natural, character versus society, or even the supernatural realm. Why? Why did you select this type of conflict for your story? How does it work to move the plot forward? It's important to know because your readers are going to want to know why you chose particular antagonists in your story, certain obstacles that you've put in your main character's path, just to make them stronger by the end of the story. Everything should tie together, as it does in the Book of Ruth. Now let's look at Boaz, our hero, versus society. Once he realizes who Ruth is, and he sees her faithfulness and her loyalty, and he understands that she obeyed him and Naomi, we learn that now he seems to have a heart for Ruth and maybe has even fallen in love with her. But we do see that he wants to protect her and Naomi by redeeming them. In this story, our hero goes to battle, quote-unquote, to save our heroine. He goes to the gates of the city. That's where all the important men are. It's kind of like our city hall. He goes there to talk to the men who make important decisions for all the people. And he goes there to make a deal to redeem Naomi and Ruth. He remembers them. You see how that's a foreshadowing of what's to come with Jesus Christ, who has come to redeem us because he remembered us. Now Boaz offers to buy the land and everything that comes with it, including Ruth. He wants to acquire Ruth as his wife. Now remember in the Bible, Israel is seen as the wife of God, sometimes as the adulterous wife of God, as we read in the book of Hosea and in the book of Revelation. The church, however, is seen as the bride of Christ, chosen by God and given to the groom. Our bridegroom is Jesus. So you can see here that Naomi represents the wife of God, and Ruth represents the bride of Christ, given to the Son of God, chosen by the Father, which is the Jewish custom, and given to the bridegroom. We are the church. We are the bride of Christ, selected by God to be given to his Son. And you see that beautiful picture here in the book of Ruth. And in doing so, in redeeming Naomi and acquiring Ruth as his wife, Boaz saves everyone. And remember, your inciting incident should not just affect your hero or your heroine. It must have more urgency than that. So when Elimelech died, and that became the inciting incident for Naomi, it didn't just affect her. It affected Ruth, and it also affected Elimelech's reputation. So Boaz comes along and saves the day. He doesn't just save Naomi. He saves Ruth, but he also saves Elimelech's reputation and position in the land. So he must have held some sort of office. So in this beautiful story of Ruth, we have seen so much. We've seen a character who has to go outside of her own worldview and leave her comfort zone and do something so challenging. But that's how we grow. Think of your own personal story, your life story. When have you had to go outside your belief system, your comfort zone, and do something that challenges you? And did you come away changed? Well, in your story that you're writing, your main character has to come away changed forever. And Naomi and Ruth walk away from this story forever changed. Not only are they redeemed by Boaz, but they have accomplished something wonderful. They've been forced to go from a home to a strange land, both of them. Naomi had to leave Bethlehem and go to Moab. Ruth had to leave the comfort of Moab and go to Bethlehem. And we've seen how these two women clung together to help one another to go on this arduous journey back home. Ruth had to blindly trust in a God she'd never met, but she was told about him, taught about him, probably by her husband and her in-laws. And she trusted in the promises of God And then, of course, we see God and his faithfulness, the covenant promises to protect, provide, and bless all of us with his presence. We see that in this story. He protected Naomi and Ruth as they made their journey back to Bethlehem. He provided them with food and through the Jewish law. And he blessed them with his presence. Remember, he had visited his people. He had attended to his people by removing the famine and allowing the land to produce again. That's a beautiful picture of the covenant promises of God. So those are the underlying themes. Remember, the covenant of God, his promises. Obedience is the main theme that we've seen throughout this whole book. Ruth obeyed Naomi, and she also obeyed Boaz. And in doing so, she was rewarded greatly. We've seen the underlying theme of loyalty and faithfulness. Your story should have themes woven throughout as well. Now, your story may not have such a happy ending as the Book of Ruth, where they are redeemed, Ruth and Boaz are married, and Ruth gives birth to a baby who will ultimately lead to the lineage of King David and Jesus Christ. But your ending should still be satisfying to the reader. It should never leave them with doubt. All the problems introduced in the story must be resolved by the end. Again, it doesn't have to be a happy ending, but it has to be a satisfying resolution to all the problems. Think of your plot arc. Naomi, she changed from the beginning of the story to the end. She's a changed person. Remember, she's called herself bitter, but by the end, she's satisfied. She has hope, and she is happy. Same with Ruth. We've seen her character change, but not quite as much as Naomi. So that tells us that Naomi is our main character. So why wasn't the book called The Book of Naomi? It's because of the importance of Ruth. She is a Gentile being called into the land and redeemed by Boaz, Naomi's kinsman redeemer. So it's called the Book of Ruth to remind us of how what Jesus said later on in his ministry, that there are sheep from another fold, and that he's going to be the shepherd of both. So here we've looked at the importance of setting. The beginning of this series, I talked about how I live in Phoenix, Arizona, and how the harsh summers here are hard to endure. But we are rewarded in the fall with beautiful, cool air, and that causes all of us to get outdoors again and go hiking and running and cycling and just enjoying the cooler air after enduring such a harsh summer. And in other parts of the world, it's the opposite. They batten down the hatches during the fall months because winter is coming, and that means they have to stay indoors for several months. But they are rewarded with a beautiful spring and summer to get out and enjoy the time with family and friends. So as you can see, the setting of a story, especially the setting of my personal story, Phoenix, Arizona, affects me. It affects everyone around us. And so should the setting of your story in your book. It should connect in some way to your main character. I used to tell my students about the movie Gravity when making this point about the connection between the setting of a story and the main character. If you haven't seen the movie Gravity, I'm not going to spoil anything here. You can continue to listen, but I strongly recommend it. In the story, our main character is obviously struggling with something personal, and she has volunteered to go on this mission into outer space to conduct experiments. She's a scientist, and it works perfectly for her because she's going through something personal, and she needs to just be alone, and it doesn't get more lonely than outer space. Outer space is cold and dark, and it's dangerous. It can kill you. Well, it's perfect for this character because she's struggling with something and needs to just be alone. And this setting helps her. It kind of matches her mood, kind of matches what she's going through. Now think about how it would work if she were completely opposite from outer space. If she was extremely social and outgoing, an extrovert, loves to socialize, and she volunteers to go into outer space where she can't talk with one another. She's completely dependent on the spaceship. She can't socialize. and she's stuck in cold, dark outer space. That could work for a story too, if that's what the director or the writer wanted. But in the movie Gravity, the setting of the story works beautifully. It connects perfectly with what the character is going through. And you find out later on in the story exactly what her dark moment is. So think about the setting of your story that you're writing. How does it connect with your main character? It should. Look at the setting of your personal life. Where are you at right now? How does that connect with you? Does it conflict with who you are? Or does where you live connect beautifully with where you're at in life? And we've also learned in the Book of Ruth the beautiful meaning of the conflict and how these obstacles are placed in her way to hinder her and to try and keep her from going forward in her goal. But she overcomes each one of them. So think about the conflict that you have in your story that you're writing. How are you going to get your character through, up and over or around all of these obstacles you've placed in his path? That's why I love this story, the Book of Ruth, so much. It definitely is literature, and it's worth analyzing. If you teach writing or coach writers, definitely go through this book with them. It shows them how to write so well. I hope that you've learned a lot by studying the Book of Ruth with me in these last episodes. I know I have. I'm reminded of so many literary devices to use in my writing. And I hope you have been encouraged too. So no matter what, try and find all of these literary devices in every story, including your own personal life story. They are there for a reason. But in all things, remember, keep writing. Keep going forward in your writing journey. And until next time, God bless.